Hey, peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this.
Next up, we have the president of Monarch Token. We also have Kenny Bozak just came in. What's up, Kenny? How you doing, brother? So next up, we have Robert Beatles. He's with the president of Monarch Token. Give him a warm welcome, guys.
Thank you. Can you hear me? All right. Cool. Thank
you. Yep.
All right, peeps. So raise your hands if crypto sucks. All right, we got a couple people there. Don't worry. I'll get into how we're going to fix that, right? But another question I got for you guys is, how many people here know what Bitcoin is? Okay. How many people have actually bought Bitcoin? How many people actually use Bitcoin in commerce? I love it. All right. I'll come back to why this is important. But for starters, a big thanks to Adam and Eric and Dominic for putting this on. I mean, a lot of work goes into these conferences. I don't know if you guys have kind of felt the conference fatigue of all these different conferences every single week, every single day. So a lot of stuff goes into this. So big thanks to Adam and Dominic and Eric for that. Appreciate it. And then so, let me just kind of jump into this a little bit right here, see if I can figure this thing out. So my name is Robert Beatles, also known as Crypto Beatles on YouTube and TV. I've got, I built one of the largest construction service companies in California. And then I've also got a software development company that we create applications and platforms for people like the United States Post Office. So we're very familiar with, software and tech. And then my kid and I go everywhere to these conferences to kind of spread the word about Monarch. Talk about that in a minute. But what I want to do to start here is to actually talk about kind of a story, my story of Bitcoin. So around 2011, this beautifully eccentric and creative and genius guy, Max Keiser, I'm sure some of you have heard of him. He was explaining to us how the financial collapse and how the banking industry and all these big institutions had essentially corrupted and crashed our fiat and financial system. And then he went and he told us about this thing called Bitcoin and how this incredible digital money could keep this from ever happening again. So respecting Max and knowing Max, I instantly had to look into this thing called Bitcoin and see what it was all about. And I instantly got bit by this bug. So I don't know if you guys have looked into Bitcoin, but as I started hearing and looking into it and seeing all this cool stuff that it does, like the scarcity aspect alone, where there's only 21 million, where when you look at things like the US dollar, they can just print this thing into extinction. When you look at the transparency of it, to where you can actually see where the money is going, who has the money, it's pretty cool. Then when you look at the aspect of being your own bank anywhere in the world, to where you can basically have peer-to-peer digital currency anywhere in the world without anybody messing with you, I again fell in love with it. But then I heard about this Satoshi Nakamoto guy. And that's kind of where it got really interesting, right? Was this mysterious guy, this Satoshi Nakamoto. Nobody knew if it was a person, if it was a man, a female, a group of people, the NSA. Nobody really knew. But what we knew was his vision. And his vision was for us, the people, to have control of our currency. And so it hasn't gone exactly as he wanted, because he wanted things fast, cheap, reliable, and basically borderless. So we can argue a little bit that quite hasn't happened exactly how he wanted it, but it's still incredible nonetheless. And then as I started looking more into Bitcoin, I started looking and found out that, hey, this isn't just some mysterious code that just came out of nowhere that does everything on its own. There's actually people that have to maintain it. These strangers, these people that nobody knows who they are. They all just run this crazy software, and everybody runs the same kind of software, and they support the network. And then if they're good actors and they're not trying to, take down the network, they're actually rewarded in Bitcoin. So I thought that was pretty cool. But nobody knowing who Satoshi was or is a good thing, I think, because you can attack a man, but you can't attack an idea. And so what I mean by that is, the governments, these big financial institutions, a lot of these people have, some worries about Bitcoin because they don't really control it. And if they knew who created it, then they could maybe destroy it. But what worried me was these core devs. These are the people that are working on the code. These are the people that are maintaining it, trying to make sure that there's no bugs in the code, trying to make it faster, trying to make it cheaper. But the problem is, when I started looking into this, I quickly realized it's not like Linux, where Linux is open source. And you have these big corporations that are basically funding developers to maintain Linux. And Bitcoin is kind of similar in the fact that it's a, you know, it's a public network. People can contribute to it. But there's no real incentivization for anybody to work on the Bitcoin code unless they hold big bags of it because they're not getting paid to do it. And as I started looking more into this, I quickly realized that a lot of the core devs, they actually have side projects. They got these little side hustles. We call them second layer solutions. And that's where they get paid. So they're not really working too much on correcting the issues that we may have with Bitcoin, like making it faster and cheaper. They're overworking on other things where they do get paid, and that's how they make their money. So if they were actually working on the code for Bitcoin, there's not a lot of incentive. You know, there's no real reason for it. But if they're over there creating, I don't know, something to make it faster, something to make it cheaper, and then now they're the third party. They're the ones that we're relying on to make Bitcoin faster and cheaper. They're finally getting a paycheck. And look, these guys are some of the smartest people in the space, and you know, they're awesome dudes for the most part, but they got to eat. And so when you start looking at Bitcoin and you start looking at the code, we got to figure out how are we going to maintain it. When you look at Satoshi, Satoshi said, then when we get to a point where there's enough adoption, enough usage, and the technology is there, we're gonna actually implement bigger blocks. We saw this in 17 when Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash split, when they had that fork. Some of the team went to the Bitcoin Cash side, some of the team stayed on the Bitcoin side. But if you look, Satoshi Nakamoto actually handed over the keys to the castle. When Satoshi disappeared, he actually gave the keys to a guy named Gavin Andreessen. And Gavin Andreessen got kicked out of Bitcoin by the same Bitcoin core developers. Guess what side he went to? He went to the Bitcoin Cash side of things. Now, I'm not advocating that Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin, because we all know that Bitcoin's the real Bitcoin. But what I am saying is Bitcoin Cash has fixed some of the scalability, some of the speed, and some of the, you know, the, I guess, the price issues that we currently have with Bitcoin. Because nobody is using Bitcoin for commerce, for the most part, outside of this room a little bit. Most people are using it as digital gold. Most people look at it as somewhat of a stock, right? You wouldn't spend Apple stock on burgers or bills, right? So this is kind of like gold. You don't spend gold at your local convenience store. You would spend things like cash, things like stable tokens. But I digress. What I'm getting at is there's nobody really incentivized to fix the Bitcoin code. There's nobody incentivized to make it faster, to make it cheaper. And is that an issue? Maybe it's fine just the way it is. Maybe we should just accept the fact that it's digital gold. Because if they do end up tweaking the code and they make another bug like they did in 2010, I don't know if you know, but in 2010, there was 184 billion extra Bitcoin created. Satoshi Nakamoto actually caught it himself and fixed it before it became a real issue. However, in September of 2018, there was another bug implemented. Not a lot of this stuff gets covered in the press. So there was another bug pushed up by the core devs in September of 18, where the miners could have actually mined and made more than the 21 million Bitcoin. So what do you think that would do to just everybody's opinion of Bitcoin? What do you think that would do to the sentiment of crypto in general if Bitcoin was to break? So it's a question, not a statement, but I'm asking you all, do you think it makes more sense to just leave it as digital gold that we just, you know, kind of invest in and wait for it to moon? Because that's what everybody's doing here right now. And then we focus on things like stable coins. So as I started looking into more of these stable options, because nobody wants to really spend their investments like Apple stocks on burgers, they want to spend digital dollars. That's what they're used to doing now. And that's what I think they're going to want to do in the future. And I think that's why this conference doesn't have quite as many people in it, is because everybody's here for speculative reasons, for the most part. And unless their bags are mooning, you don't really see all this excitement. However, people spend dollars everywhere they go. So when you start looking into stable coins and stable tokens, just really quickly, basically it's something that's backed by, let's just say, a dollar of assets. So you know that this one stable coin is worth $1, or a stable token is worth $1, and people are incentivized to spend that. Now, it's hard to spend Bitcoin, because you take my friend Josh, for example. He's got a big business. He's got a lot of subscribers. He has a lot of people that are using his goods and services, and he would love to be able to accept crypto, but he can't because it's too volatile, and he has to budget his business, right? You can't account for 85% swings and drops in your currency. You have to be able to maintain a budget, maintain payroll, things like that, And so when I started explaining to him the benefits of stable coins and stable tokens, he instantly got super excited about it because he owns a lot of bags of Bitcoin and he's happy, but he doesn't want to spend them because he wants them to go up and he can't use them because guess what? He's got payroll and he's got bills and all that kind of stuff. So I start talking about stable coins and stable tokens and guess what? He's all in. So at Monarch, what we did was in Satoshi's real vision, we created a wallet. All right, so we created a wallet to begin with that allows people to take their Bitcoin or their stable coins, any of that stuff, anywhere in the world, and be their own bank. So you don't have to worry about that 2008 stuff anymore. It's basically a super app. It allows you to plug in all the best services in crypto and even some of the best companies like Celsius back there into one login through one app, the Monarch Wallet. So we created that for the people. And then for the Joshes of the world, we created Monarch Pay. And so what Monarch Pay does is it's kind of like a reoccurring payment platform. Think of it as like PayPal, except you're using crypto, and it's less than 1% to use it, and there's no chargebacks. So anybody out here that has a business that uses credit cards or anything like that, you're probably familiar with chargebacks and high interest, you know, 3% to 60% if you're using Twitch for using credit cards. So we created Monarch Pay for the merchants, and what it does is in about 30 seconds, the merchant goes, fills out a couple forms, little fields, takes about 30 seconds, something like that, and it generates a little link. Now your customers, they click that link, and the money will then come from their Monarch wallet to the merchant's Monarch wallet every day, every week, every month, whatever you set up for less than 1% with no chargebacks ever. So I explained this to Josh, he fell in love with it, and guess what he's doing now? Now he's starting to use crypto. So there are options. When I say crypto sucks right now because it's very difficult to get people to understand. It's not our job to educate people because people that, if you have to sit there and explain to them how crypto works, it's never going to work. You have to make something that's better, that's faster, that's cheaper, that's easier to use than what they're using now that they don't have to be educated on, and that's when we're going to get adoption. That's when people will start using it. That's what we're trying to do at Monarch. And every day, we're getting a little bit closer. Now, what can we all do? So everybody in here, you're all here for crypto, right? Y'all believe in blockchain. Well, start telling people about it, right? If you guys are out there spending dollars, start spending digital dollars. You guys can use stable tokens, stable coins. When you guys go to, you know, restaurants that you frequent all the time, or you guys are using, I don't know, services, you know the people, you know the business owners, that kind of stuff. Have them start accepting crypto. Just ask them to. And then before you know it, they'll start seeing the benefits of crypto. It'll kind of start spreading. Things will get easier. Things will be more like a PayPal, Facebook experience. And it should start taking off, especially when they see the value. When you look at people like Telegram, when you look at people like Facebook, when you look at people like the Federal Reserve, all these people are coming into crypto. If you take a look at like WePay, China, I don't know if you guys have been there, but everything there is done digitally now. They're like literally one step away from crypto. If you look at like their WePay and Alipay, everything is digital. They don't carry dollars on them, any of that kind of stuff anymore. So we're still early peeps, but we are very close, I think, to getting some real traction. Between, like I said, Telegram, Facebook, WePay, Alipay, all these guys, they're right on the heels of it. And if we all can go out there and start asking to be paid in cryptos and stable tokens, it's just going to help. So I appreciate all your time. We have a booth over there. It's called Monarch, where you guys can get some free crypto. And anybody that knows me knows that I give out free crypto on every single of my videos, usually $100 of Bitcoin Cash. Here we'll be giving out some Monarch tokens. So make sure you stop by our booth. Go see that pretty brown man right there, Snay. There you go. Our little CEO. Yeah, he'll hook you up with some free Monarch tokens. We got some t-shirts and hats and all that kind of cool stuff. So anyways, love you peeps. God bless you. And I'll catch you on the next stage, I guess.
Give it up for Robert Beatles.
Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and owns several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. podcast, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right.
God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.